Fever pitch. Anybody ever hear or have a fever pitch? Fever pitch is something that's a state of intense excitement or agitation. In the time of COVID, we all hope and pray that we will avoid the virus that has killed to date more than 2,240,000. Of course, now since I've got a hold of this, the numbers have changed a little bit. But people around the world have been touched by this. In our own country, we have close to 450,000 at this particular point. So as the virus mutates and infections rise in the middle of our coldest months of winter, many are flocking to get newly released vaccines. Praise God. We feel an urgency to protect ourselves from this raging death toll and from even mildly infecting ourselves and others with an illness that seems to have no bounds as to the type of havoc that it can wreak upon our bodies and our minds, both now and maybe for the years to come. Still, despite the for change and for us, it's come to be fast enough. Hospitals remain filled to the brim with patients both ill and also dying. Urgent care centers, testing centers continue to try to keep up with the cases. We continue to wear a mask and socially distance. But we're growing weary. I don't know about you, but I am. We're growing weary. And we are in urgent need to have a reprieve. So our scientists and the manufacturers of these vaccines continue to work feverishly in order to deliver the maximum amount of vaccines in record time, hoping to slow the spread and to put a stop to the pandemic. That's our prayer. One of the hallmarks of this virus is a fever that persists, spiking off and sometimes a month or more after the primary illness kind of comes back and aggravates us. It's like a ghost that continues to haunt us, threatening to derail our lives. We, as an entire world, are locked into a kind of a long-term fight and flight response, immersed in a perpetual level of stress that we are finding our generation in. Never before experienced such a thing in our generation. They experienced some really tough stuff back in the early part of the 1900s. And it's taking a toll also on our psychics in our body. We're tired. We're burnt out. We want a break from this relentless fever pitch that we seem to be on. I know many of us watch the news every day, obsessively just looking for a glimmer of hope or the latest headlines that are going on, and many of us try to escape the reality of the viruses and the loneliness and the soulless of some of the things that are on our televisions, like Netflix, or maybe even the Hallmark Channel. What do you think, Phil? How many of us are missing your children and grandchildren? How many of us are stressed to eating or have developed some other forms of stress-related illness? For some, the virus has ended a budding relationship and even challenged some of the best marriages. It's caused some of us to lose loved ones without the ability to say goodbye. We have a friend in Carabel that experienced that. She never even got to see him, even when he was in the morgue, let alone at the time of his funeral. She never got to see him. It's left others without resources. Companies and the outlets might keep them from depression, wellness, and financial security. We feel the urgency to end all of this. And yet, an urgency to keep fighting, such as the human spirit. The human spirit is unique. The human spirit don't ever give up. We continue to fight. But urgency can also be a good thing. In the scriptures that I read just a while ago, we see Jesus near the beginning of his ministry on a feverish mission to spread the good news, God's future plan for humanity throughout that entire region that where he was. And with his newly called disciples by his side, he embarked on a relentless journey throughout all of Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Yeah, he would pause briefly in one place and there be quiet for a while, especially in the early morning hours. He would then get up and go out to his next destination. He was what they called an itinerant rabbi, but he was also God. That's where we as United Methodists get into the itinerant ministry, that we move from place to place to place after a few years in a church. We don't do that much anymore. Thank God we found out that it's better just to stay put in a church and minister to the people and be able to give them the encouragement and the guidelines to kind of continue to share the gospel. But it must have felt overwhelming for him and his disciples. They were used to a different lifestyle, the disciples were. A consistent lifestyle in which they would root their identity and existence in one place, creating families and a livelihood and having social connections, and in some cases maybe even prestige, like being the leader of their particular community where they were. But this itinerary rabbi, known as Jesus, would move from place to place every couple of days. Felt exhausting and pointless. Why wouldn't he just take time to minister to the people that was already here? This was the question they posed to him that morning, as we read in the gospel today. Jesus had gone off by himself and to refuel his spirit for the next part of his journey. His disciples, however, haunted him. And they haunted him every moment. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. They didn't understand why he couldn't just stay where he was with the people who already wanted to be with him, and more importantly, learn from him. That was the mission that Jesus called to. However, Jesus said, "Let's go on to the neighboring town, so that I can proclaim the message there too. For that is why I came." And so the scriptures tell us that he went throughout the whole Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, Jesus' disciple wanted him to do what was expected, what was unusual, what the people really wanted, what they preferred. They wanted to break from this relentless traveling with Jesus. They're getting tired and their feet's getting sore. They hoped that Jesus would put down roots for a while, at least a while, to build up some momentum in the people that he's already touched. But Jesus was determined to keep on walking or keep on going. You see, the urgency comes from that same kind of passion and drive and initiative that drives us onward in the face of even a pandemic. And even though we desperately want to stop and take a breath, deep in his heart, Jesus must have been aware of the scant time that he had in order to fulfill his mission. The vast numbers of people would need to be reached. The urgency of his message and the vital importance of salvation potential, not only as Messiah, but also as God's Son. So in a sense, Jesus was the vaccine of society's ill in that day. And his mission had to proceed with urgency, and his disciples had never seen this kind of urgency before in their lives. For God was in the state of mankind and reached a feverish pitch. Corruption was rampant. The faith had been corrupted. Thousands were cast out or become lost or displaced. People were scared. People were oppressed. They were depressed. And hopelessness was abound in the society of his day. They needed hope. They needed the kind of hope Jesus could bring. And yet, despite the hope that Jesus offered, the human penchant, which is inclination and a desire to do as much as we can in a short period of time. Familiarity and sameness, resistance of change become a constant challenge for him. His own disciples failed him again and again to understand the urgency of Jesus' message. They truly didn't believe he only had 3 years to complete his ministry. He was a young man. Why only 3 years? They couldn't imagine that his salvation message to the world would end in death. Wow. He didn't truly believe that he could get it all done in 3 years. They couldn't imagine that that salvation message to the world would continue. And praise be to God, here we are today. Even though we didn't walk with Jesus in the physical realm, Jesus is here in the spiritual realm, encouraging us to keep on keeping on. They remained grounded in what they could see and hear, and what they knew and what they understood. What seemed to make sense to them was within the framework of what they knew. Recognition, familiarity, both of those as a powerful aphrodisiac. But Jesus did go on. His disciples, loyal as they were, resistant as they sometimes could be, continued to follow him as urgently he preached and taught and healed throughout the region, that he could and he did change the world. His disciples learned from Jesus just how to navigate life. You know, sometimes when we get into some things, we need a spiritual guide. Sometimes they call Jesus a spiritual guide, a navigator, somebody that can help you navigate through all this stuff in life. That's Christ. Through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, we have that even today within our lives. But how do we inaugurate a future? Despite feeling tired and longing for reprieve, they also would just push through and keep on walking. That's what we all find ourselves doing in these trying times. Just keep on walking. Keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So today, Jesus calls the church to do the same. He continues to offer us hope no matter how much sorrow that we experience, and he continues to push us forward into mission and ministry when we'd rather just curl up on the couch with popcorn and the clicker for Netflix and Hallmark Channel. Because Jesus knows that now more than ever, there's an urgency for the gospel. We had the missionaries here. Is that last week? Week before? Wow. You know, and they're called to their mission over in Sri Lanka, but we're called to our mission right here in this little Bethel community. People need to hear it. People everywhere need to see Jesus. Amen. He needs to heal not just one community, but the entire world. How can we do that? That's a big job, one heart at a time. So when we feel weary, we would all rather just default to the familiar. Just remember old Jonah? Old Jonah, what he did, he sat under a tree and waited for things to pass. But Jesus instead tells us now more than ever, this is the time for our mission. This is our chance to proclaim a hope and a different future. Now, I know it's hard, but don't let the doldrums keep you from being an apostle of Jesus Christ. Designed you to be, because we are all unique and we're all different, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom for mission. And you've heard me say it before, sometimes too, when it gets tough, I just want to say, Daddy, I need to crawl up on your lap. Hold me. I don't know if you ever tried it or not, but it works. So don't let the familiar keep you from doing the spectacular.